want to welcome everyone today, and especially all the moms, and a very happy Mother's Day to you. And blessed is the woman who trusts in the Lord. How many men here today are thankful that you have a wife that trusts in the Lord? Amen. The others will see you for counseling this week, okay? In this modern age that we live in, there are a lot of expectations put upon a woman. She is not only expected to have a successful career, but she is expected to keep the house spotless. She has to keep the kids. That was really not in a good spot for an amen. I'll see you for counseling later on in the week. She has to raise perfect children. She has to be a great cook, and she has to look like a fashion model. So all these expectations that are upon the wife today, it's a lot. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful for the mother of my children and my wife, and praise God for a godly woman. I had a poem I thought was kind of cute. I wanted to read it for you this morning. It says, "She cooked the breakfast first of all, washed the cups and plates, dressed the children and made sure stockings all were mates, combed their hair and made their beds, sent them out to play, gathered up their motley toys and put some books away, dusted chairs and mopped the stairs, ironed an hour or two, baked a jar of cookies and a pie, then made a pot of stew. The telephone rang constantly, the doorbell did the same. A youngster fell and stubbed his toe, and then the laundry came. She picked up blocks and mended socks, then polished up the stove. And when her husband came at 6, he said, 'I envy you, it must be nice to sit at home without a thing to do.'" And all the women said, amen. There was a little boy who forgot his lines in a Sunday school presentation, and his mother was sitting on the front row. And she gestured, and she's trying to form the words with her lips to remind him of his lines, but it didn't help. And her son's memory had totally gone blank. And finally, she leaned forward and she whispered the cue, "I am the light of the world." And the boy's face lit up, and with great feeling and a loud, clear voice, he said, "My mother is the light of the world." Oh, goodness. There was actually an attorney. His name was Michael Minton. He did an estimate of the monetary value of a wife's services in the home. I always enjoy when I travel, and I flew this week, and it was kind of funny. I was sitting next to this lady, and she asked what I did, and I told her I worked for a wealthy Jewish man. And we get to talking, and her husband, come to find out her husband's one of the top criminal defense attorneys in Rockford, you know, and it was kind of funny. As our conversation went, but you know, I said, "Well, what do you do?" You know, and she, you know, she worked at home, and she also had another job that she did. But there are so many times when I've seen women who are almost embarrassed to say, "I'm a housewife." There's become a stigma in our society that has so underestimated the value of a domestic engineer. Come on, guys. I thank God that there are women who still have the ability to stay home with their kids, and that is a wonderful thing. It's nothing wrong if you have to work and you have a job or you have a career. But this guy did an estimate of what the value would be if you had to pay your wife a salary for what she does at home. And he figured all the jobs she does. She's a chauffeur, she's a gardener, a family counselor, a maintenance worker, she's the cleaning woman, a housekeeper, a cook, an errand runner, a bookkeeper, an interior decorator, a caterer, a dietitian, a secretary, and a hostess. And it came out to today's wages, it would be $985 a week, or $51,220 a year is what you owe your wife. I saw Christina just go, "Salem?" That's a lot of money. Woo. I want to I want to be somewhat brief today. That in itself will be a miracle. But I want to share with you a story about an unnamed mother. The Bible doesn't even give her a name. It's found in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 21. It says, "Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And a Canaanite woman," that's all it calls her, "from that vicinity came to him crying out, 'Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me.'" Now that in itself was amazing because this woman was not a Jew. She was not a religious person in Judaism. There was no reason that she was necessarily looking for Messiah. But because of what she had heard and what she had perhaps seen, the miracles, somehow she connected, this man is Messiah. And she gives him the messianic name, Son of David. For Messiah would come from David's line. "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." That was the mercy committee. "Send her away, for she keeps bugging us." And he answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." I don't know about you, but this has been a passage of scripture that's for decades has somewhat troubled me. I've struggled with it sometimes when I would read it. I'm like, it just doesn't fit the Jesus that I see, you know, throughout the pages of scripture. But he says, "I was only sent to the lost sheep of Israel." And the woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. And he replied, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs." I want you to notice Jesus didn't say she was a dog, but to the Jews, the Gentiles were their dogs. "Yes, Lord," she said, "but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." And then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted," and her daughter was healed from that very hour. Wow. Father, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Spirit, that power that makes teaching and preaching come easy. Thank you that you spoke these words into my heart, the simple message, the story of this desperate mom who came to you one day when she was so desperate as her daughter was dying. And Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that you would minister to every mom that is here today, for those who came today that sometimes feel so overwhelmed with their responsibility. I pray today that your blessings would be upon them, that you would grant their needs, their requests that they have petitioned you for. We give you thanks in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen and amen. There is something amazing about this woman. First of all, I noticed that Jesus addressed her. He said, "Woman, you have great faith." In our society, it has become somewhat of a derogatory statement to call someone woman. Like you say, "Woman, you get in here." It's kind of can have a derogatory meaning to address somebody as, "Hey, woman," you know. It actually was in the Bible, it was a term of endearment. That which was taken out of man, woman. And it's so interesting to me that Jesus only addressed, I think there's only like four times I find in Scripture when he calls someone by that name. One of them was the lady at the well. One of them was this woman. Another one was the woman caught in the act of adultery. Remember, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are your accusers?" Another one was when he was hanging upon the cross. He looked down at John and said, "Behold your mother." And he said, "Woman, behold your son." And when Jesus said these words to this lady that day, "Woman, you have great faith," I believe he was saying to her, "You just changed my whole plan and what was laid out for me to do. I came for the Jews. The Apostle Paul will later come and he will bring the message to you Gentiles. But listen, I came for the Jews, but there's something about your faith that I'm going to lay aside all of what's supposed to be and I'm going to grant your request. Now, there's some things I see in this woman. It's real short. I just have like four things that I saw that I think is so spectacular about her and her faith. The very first one was that she went to the right person. Again, she was a Gentile. There was no reason she should have known about Jesus other than, I believe when your heart is searching and when you are desperate, you come to a place where you're open. I was chaplain for about 7 or 8 years at the Belvedere Hospital, and you know, I didn't know what to expect when they asked me to come on staff. I originally did it for a paycheck because it was, you know, it was really a financial blessing. But it came to the point that I would have paid them to have had that opportunity. Because when people were in the hospital, they were so vulnerable. They were so open and ready and to accept God. There were times I would come into people that didn't know anything about God. But when you're in a point of desperation, when you're in a point where you need help, your heart can become open. Amen? And this woman, she came to the right person. She comes to Jesus and she, thank God she knew where to go. It said in verse 22, a Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." Now, I don't know if you've ever seen someone suffering from demon possession. It's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty sight. Satan had control of her daughter, and the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. His ultimate destination and goal for her daughter was what? Death. And this little mom comes to Jesus, and she's like, "Lord, you got to help me. You got to help me. My daughter is suffering terribly from demon possession." I thank God that we know where to go when we have problems. Amen? The Holy Spirit is our comforter. He is our counselor. He guides us into all truth. Can somebody say amen? Not only did she go to the right person, she would not be overcome by discouragement. I believe that I've never seen a time in my life when so many Christians are suffering from discouragement than the day we live in today. It's kind of a discouraging time that we live in. It's kind of a down time, not just with the economy, but people's hope. And so many people today are suffering from discouragement. But listen, this mom had every opportunity to be discouraged. It said in verse 23, Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." Let me ask you a question. How discouraged would you be today? Arlene loves me, so I can pick on her. How would you feel today, Arlene, if all these people in the church came up to me and said, "Oh, Pastor Keith, Arlene, you got to send her away"? She'd go, "Oh man, that hurts." How many know that's true? You talk about a discouraging moment. And then, Arlene, how would you feel if Pastor Keith said, "Arlene, I know you got a need today, but I'm not going to toss it to their dogs"? Whoa. This lady refused to get discouraged. I don't know about you, but there's something that I just love about a person that has tenacity. Where they just say, "I'm not going to quit." We have a generation of quitters. There's something about digging in your heels, saying, "I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to quit on my marriage. I'm not going to quit on our friendship. I'm not going to quit on our church. I'm just not going to quit. I'm going to hang in there." She didn't let herself be overcome by rejection. Not this lady. She was desperate. for her daughter to get some relief. I want to tell you today, don't let the enemy make you want to quit. You may say, Pastor Keith, I feel like quitting. I just feel like throwing in the towel. Moms, maybe you feel like you're not appreciated for all that you do. Especially some of you guys are working jobs, I know, and then you're coming home and you have to do all the work at home and you're doing all these things and you might feel like you're unappreciated. Listen, don't throw in the towel. There's somebody who understands and knows how you feel. Amen? Thirdly, she persisted in the right way. So what do you mean by that, Pastor Keith? Well, notice verse 25. The woman came and knelt before him. Lord, help me, she said. I found myself thinking, what if I had been her? And he had just made that statement about the puppy dog. I think you might have found it hard to come and kneel in front of him. It was an act of submission. She actually came and knelt before him and worshiped him. You talk about a way to touch the heart of God is through worship. You may feel like God hasn't answered your prayers, like everything has gone totally opposite of the way you planned for things to turn out. Try kneeling. Amen. Try kneeling. And beginning to worship him in spite of everything you've gone through. Just saying, God, I worship you. The woman came and knelt before him. And look at her cry. Lord, help me. Those three words that she uttered is one of the most powerful prayers you can ever pray. Because it shows and portrays that you lack the ability to change your situation. And you cry out to God and say, Lord, you alone can help me. I don't know about you, but I've been there. I've been there more times than I'd like to count. When you say, Lord, help me. And then she didn't argue with Jesus. I think I would have said, no, Lord, I'm Pastor Keith. You remember? Think about what I've done. I'm really not a bad person. Come on, wouldn't we? We would give him excuses of why he should help us. We so miss it in that area. God's not interested in all your excuses of why he should help you. He extends grace. Grace is when you get something you don't deserve. We had a great movie night, Friday night. We watched the movie The War Room. One of the most powerful scenes in this movie. And I'm not trying to spoil it for anybody, but this man could go to jail for something wrong he's done. And all of a sudden his boss comes in the room and at home there, and he extends to him grace and says, we're not going to prosecute you, and we've decided to give you a pass here. And his wife looks at him and says, that's grace. Grace is when you get something you don't really deserve, but God just does it for you. You know what this woman did? She appealed for grace. Say amen, somebody. She didn't argue with Jesus. She accepted what she said. Lord, yep, I am a Gentile. I don't deserve it. I know you didn't come for me. Yes, Lord, she said, verse 27, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. I don't know what school she went to, but somebody taught her a smooth line there. I mean, when she made that statement, it just went into the heart of Jesus and said, ooh, I got to change my plan. Say amen, somebody. Amen. But Lord, I may be a dog, but even the dogs get the crumbs from the master's table. I'm not asking you for much. I just want you to help my daughter. You know what I love too? She wasn't asking for anything for her. She just wanted help for her daughter. That's a mom for you. That's a mom for you. She appealed to him for grace. It made me think of Matthew chapter 7 and verse 7 and 8. It's easy to remember Matthew 7, 7. And this is what Jesus said in this important verse. He said, can we read it out loud together? Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. And he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, the door will be open. That word ask, when you look it up in the Greek, it's different than just me asking for something. It actually has the tense. It's not present tense. It's a continual tense, like ask and keep asking. Don't just ask once, but ask and you keep asking and you will get an answer. You keep on asking. You say, Pastor Keith, I don't think that sounds right. Why should I do that? Because God knows when I pray. It's like one guy one time, when I had him in for counseling, and they've been married for years, and she said, he never tells me he loves me. And he said, I told you when I married you, if I ever change my mind, I'll let you know. That was a tough one. Listen, I believe when God hears that persistence, like this little woman had, it touches his heart. Amen? We're getting ready to start on a new Bible study in our Connect group, and I was reviewing some studies this week, and I was watching Francis Chan. Francis Chan, I can't remember the name of his book. I've read it. And he has a video series with this book. And he's amazing. I don't know if any of you have ever heard him. He's a little Chinese guy. And he was talking about how growing up as a Christian, Christian family, and he was Chinese, he was taught to pray. And they prayed over every meal, and he said it was so routine. Same prayer every time. And he said he would always be embarrassed in eighth grade that he had to pray that prayer over his food because the people that were sitting at his table were not Christians, and he had to pray. And he said he actually remembered dropping his napkin and on the way down, he's like picking it up, praying this little prayer. And he's serious. Oh, man, it so touched me when I was watching him. He said then one day he was at a youth retreat, and he was watching the speaker. He went off to pray. They wanted everybody to go pray early in the morning, and he was praying. And he saw the speaker that was there for that week. And he was kind of like off out in the field somewhere. And he said it was just like this guy was talking to somebody that was there. He said it was so different than I'd ever anticipated prayer being. This guy was just communicating with God. And he said that week he discovered that when you pray to God, you need to realize you're talking to someone real. You're talking to someone who's listening at that moment. And he said, I read Revelation chapter 4 where it described God. And he's on this throne and there's this emerald rainbow and there's lightning and thunder and all this and the 24 elders and all this. And he says, I just, all of a sudden when I came to pray, I saw God like that. And then he was like, wow, God, maker of the heavens and the earth, you're so awesome that you would take time for me to hear my prayer, to listen to me. It so overwhelms me. And that's what I'm saying with this little woman today. She didn't just ask once. She was persistent. She knew who Jesus was. She recognized Lord, Son of David. She saw him as the Messiah and not just as another Jew. And then finally, her faith was rewarded by Jesus. Man, I tell you, when I read these words in verse 28, I just think it's so overwhelming. Then Jesus answered. See, he didn't answer a word. It said in the earlier verses, she asked and he didn't answer a word. Now, all of a sudden, then Jesus answered. Some of you are praying right now for something and you're saying, Pastor Keith, I just don't hear God answering me. He's not answering my prayers and nothing is happening. Maybe you got to change your position. Maybe we got to come to our knees. See, sometimes we ask God why things happen in our life. Sometimes they happen to bring us to our knees. Then Jesus answered, "Woman, you have great faith." I think it would be wonderful if Jesus said, "Keith, you have faith." But to have him say, "You have great faith." Jesus knows a thing or two about faith. He was there when by faith he spoke the world into existence. By faith he said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Jesus recognized her that day for having great faith. And then I love what he said. "Your request is granted." And her daughter was healed from that very hour. I would really like to tell you that I totally understand how healing works. I'd like to tell you that I understand why some are healed and some don't. But I don't understand that. But I do know this. The price has been already paid at the cross. You don't have to make Jesus heal you. You don't have to beg him to do this or that. He made that decision when he died upon the cross for your sins, for your healing, for your to take care of you financially. All we got to do, I really believe, is get our heart in a position to receive and just ask and say, "God, this is what I need." I can tell you this, he has given me much more than I could ever deserve. Amen. He's blessed me with much more than I could ever even ask for. What was it about this woman that made him say this statement, "Woman, you have great faith," and then her request was granted? First of all, she crossed great barriers. She was a woman. Women couldn't even usually come in where the men were, you know, teaching and worshiping. She wasn't even allowed to be there. And she was a Gentile at that. She was a Canaanite. She passed the barriers. She persisted. Thank God for persistent people. Amen? It was a teenager who decided to quit high school. And he came to give the news to his father, and his father was trying to convince him to stay. "Son," he said, "you just can't quit. All the people who are remembered in history didn't quit. Abe Lincoln didn't quit. Thomas Edison didn't quit. Douglas MacArthur didn't quit. And Elmo Kringle didn't quit." "Who?" the son said. "Who is Elmo Kringle?" "See," the father said, "you don't remember him because he quit." He got the point across. Don't quit. I know some of you in here are standing in faith and believing for something, some kind of miracle in your life, and maybe you don't even see a glimmer of hope for it. But I'm going to tell you this, don't quit. Don't quit. Hang in there and God will come through for you. It may not happen in your timing, but it'll happen to hers. And then thirdly, as I pointed out a while ago, she made no claim. She appealed to grace. She didn't say, "I deserve this." It's so in our human nature to want to tell God the good things we've done to deserve whatever it is we're asking for. But God doesn't need to hear that. We actually don't deserve anything but hell. Everything we receive from him is because of grace. When Jesus told her it wasn't right to take the children's bread and toss it to their dogs, she didn't say, "I can't believe you said that. I'll find another church." "Lord, how about the crumbs from the table?" It's no wonder to me that Jesus replied, "Daughter, I've never seen. You have great faith, you know. It's amazing. Your daughter's healed now. This very hour her daughter was healed just like that." I'd love to see those kind of miracles. That's what I want to see. Where just like that, they happen. Amen? I would like to just have a special prayer for all the moms today, if I can do that. Could I just get all the moms to just kind of step out of the aisle? And I'd like you just to gather around the front. And I just want you, first of all, to know that we honor you. And wow, look at this. Come on, guys. Just give them a hand as they're coming. First of all, let me say, we would be lost without you. We men would be definitely lost without you. And not only that, our church is greatly blessed because of the women that are in this church. Can you say amen? Ladies, would you just take hands with the women beside you? I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of power in praying mamas. This was a praying mama that came to Jesus and said, Lord, my daughter is suffering terribly. And Jesus answered those prayers. I can remember when I was a little boy, my mom praying for me. There was a time when I was so sick and had a fever. And I remember my mom praying for me, and she called a lady at work, and she went in the bathroom and prayed for me, and she came out and gave mom a scripture to read to me. And Jesus said unto him, I will come and heal him. I still remember that. Mom read that to me, and in a matter of minutes, boom, my fever broke. I was healed, and I went outside and started praying. Thank God for a praying mama. Amen. Gentlemen, stretch your hands this way as we pray a blessing upon the moms today. Father God, as we come to this portion of the service, I pray a special blessing upon my mom and every mom that stands before me now. I give you thanks, Father, for these women who have given their best to their families, to their children, to love them and to pray for them. And I ask in Jesus' name that you would strengthen every mom here today. I recognize, oh God, that some of them stand here today with great needs in their lives. Some of them, their hearts are heavy and they're broken. But I ask in Jesus' name right now that you would give them strength and grace on this Mother's Day, that it would be a day they would remember where you touched them from on high with special strength to get through what they have to face. Thank you, Father, for all of these moms that stand before us today. We give you thanks for them now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. And amen. Let's give the ladies a hand. Amen. Amen.